Good morning, everybody. As you notice, the room is quite packed, and for us, to be honest, that is a very pleasant surprise. Thank you all for coming over to this room. We want to show some highlights about a couple of topics we are sure you would be interested in, and that's also the setup for this type of session called the State of the Union session. What we will be doing is explaining the State of the Union in terms of what's going on at Microsoft with regards to the topics IoT and data. Next, we will show some examples of things we did with our partners regarding IoT. It's basically to offer you some guidance at the event about how to navigate through the agenda. Hopefully, after this session, you will be well aware of what's going on in the coming 2 days and make use of the money you spent and the time you spent with us. Thanks again for joining us. Let me kick off in the setup for this session. There are a lot of topics to cover with regards to IoT, and what we did is we basically split the whole thing in two. I will discuss a couple of topics regarding devices, connecting devices, involving the cloud and IoT scenarios. The second part of the session will be hosted by our dear friend, Jeroen Terheert. He will be talking about data, not only in the context of IoT, especially in the context of IoT, but also beyond that. If we look at the Internet of Things, we clearly see that a lot of things have been happening. If we look back since the birth of the PC, the smartphone, and the internet, we really have seen that a lot of things have been made possible. I guess one of the important things to see now is that we have the opportunity to involve the outside world in this digital domain we are all living in. I think that is one of the key points with IoT, to be able to achieve that. I think currently we're not there yet. There are a lot of things happening, but it's still a way to go before we are able to have autonomous vehicles bring us to where we need to be, have physical devices sensing whether something is wrong with our health state, et cetera. I think that a lot of work is still to be done, and please take the opportunity at Tech Days to make sure that you get all the grasp of the complexity of IoT, and I will give some highlights on what that complexity is all about. We were able, with a couple of new technologies like the HoloLens, to not only be able to involve the outside world in the digital domain, but also to break free from the traditional screens we were attached to, like a PC or a smartphone. HoloLens is a good example of that, and IoT is an enabler for this kind of stuff. With IoT, we will be able in the future to let go of physical devices and have the digital domain be part of the real life. That's not only about augmented reality, it's really the story about what IoT in the end should be able to achieve. That's what we are striving for. If you look at the outside world, we are already installing a lot of sensor devices. This has a lot of consequences in terms of data. You already heard a lot of stories on the cloud. IoT is depending a lot on the cloud, of course, because of data, not only because of data, but also because of data volumes and data velocity. A couple of those topics will be mentioned. Most of you probably already heard our mission statement to empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. This is the big thing for Microsoft. I think IoT plays a role in this. I think we need to improve devices to help us along this line. I change it a little bit to say that devices and machines are also involved. It's also our mission to make sure that they help us to get further, to achieve more. The field of IoT is quite complex. There are a lot of players in the field. As Microsoft, we really took the approach to be a very good team player because we knew we would be depending on partners to make this thing work, to be able to be very agile. If you look at this picture, it's a couple of months old. I showed it a couple of times, but still this has been changing dramatically. There are newcomers which turned out to be very important. There were big companies that took a different direction, and people are changing stuff. This is really evolving a lot, and you will see Microsoft growing in this picture. We are at a couple of spots already, but we are well involved in teaming up with partners that, for example, have multiple decades of experience in IoT. Looking back to the complexity of IoT, let's start to look at devices, because that's, of course, the starting point. Before we head over to that, we actually should be talking about security. Security is the most important thing you should be thinking about before you start IoT projects. What you see here in this picture basically sums up what is happening currently. We have enough standards to make sure that security is a thing we can achieve, but we all know that the way we report what we do in terms of security, the way we accept some things not being totally secured, this is real life. And the reality often turns out to be more like this. So within my family and friends, I did a similar investigation. And this t-shirt is basically what I turned up with. So most of them, this basically means you just close the front door with the keys on the outside. But be aware of the fact that especially for consumer IoT applications, this is a big thing. This is a big challenge, and it's a big issue because home routers, for example, the routers many people have in their homes, there are even cases of very popular models for which the firmware source code has been lost. So the people building those hardware devices are not even capable of sending you security updates. I'm not sure how many of you did a recent router, home network router security update, firmware update. I guess most of you haven't. And that's really an issue if we depend on thermostats being online, devices in the house being online. So keep that in mind, that this really is a challenge, and not only a challenge, but a big problem currently. Here you see the net result of this issue I'm referring to. A couple of cases where things really went wrong, and this is just in the beginning years of IoT. Expect more to come, more stories like this to come, and they can be very disruptive in terms of a meltdown at a power plant, a nuclear power plant, people have died because of IoT security breaches, so keep that in mind. And this is something we as Microsoft are very conscious about. So in terms of security, if you look at the software development cycle, this is quite an old approach at Microsoft how to handle security. It's still applicable for IoT projects. This is something we still keep in mind and use. A new addition to this is the principles of STRIDE. This mnemonic is basically stating a couple of threats we always should consider. And we have ways to map those threats on an IoT project. So for example, in this somewhat fake picture down below, what we do is basically we mark zones, and we mark the transition from one zone to another zone. And those are the points where it's interesting to figure out, okay, what security measurements should a device have when it connects to the cloud? If it connects to a cloud gateway, what security measures should be in place over there? And basically, you get a big string of places where you need to dig into security. And that is the challenge, because in IoT, there are a lot of things involved, a lot of hops those data messages need to take. So keep that in mind. You mentioned a couple of links to very good content on this topic. I think that should be content we all should be aware about before we start digging into real-life IoT projects. So to help a little bit on the device side, we released a couple of new IoT kits. So these are basically meant to get you all up to speed and have fun with IoT, because that's where it starts for many people and many companies as well. So the big important thing about this thing is that we support multiple platforms. It's not only about .NET. We really try to work with a big community of C, Java, and Node.js developers to make sure that when these things turn into real projects, into real products, that we are capable to connect Azure to basically any platform that is available. That is very key to us. Looking at architecture, most of you who are into IoT already have seen this before. So this is the basic story of devices. We know that devices come in various sorts. Some of them are very capable to connect to the internet. Others are totally not. So this is where we make a separation between IoT-capable devices. And in many cases, actually, in my experience, in most cases, the gateway is a very important part of this. And there's a whole chain of events happening after events get ingested into the cloud. Jeroen will also talk about those topics. But keep in mind that this is quite a complex thing to work with. So for example, in this slide, it just showcases the complexity of protocols, how to handle events coming from devices, ingesting them in the cloud. And for example, AMQP is quite important for Microsoft because we really endorse that standard. We think it's more secure than another industry standard like MQTT. So there are a couple of security things which make us believe that AMQP actually should be the future protocol. But of course, we support all of them, because again, it's important to involve any platform that would like to connect to the cloud. And you see in the whole spectrum that even at the end, there are a lot of things in Azure going on that could be useful in an IoT scenario. So keep in mind that when you do IoT and you look at Azure, it's not only about our IoT services, there are quite a few of them, but basically all the building blocks in Azure could play a role in this. So keep that in mind. Keep a broad vision when you look at Azure to solve your IoT solution. Open source is very important for us as well. So all the SDKs, We have our open source, it's all on GitHub, and the reason, of course, is that we want to have a community that looks at the SDKs, maybe finds that for their specific platform there is nothing. We hope people will be start extending this. We will contribute to this, to these GitHub repositories actively, meaning that our people being paid to make sure that the source codes in there are really up to date, good quality stuff, and hopefully you will join us in extending this even further. So the blue blocks in this slide showcase basically the open source parts that we have released to make IoT and building IoT solutions easier. So this is just a list of a couple of things. Keep in mind that it's also not only about devices in the traditional electronics sense, but also smartphones. I even did a project where the slider of a browser was an IoT event, sensing the progress people were making in the workshop. So just to give you an example that it's more than just electronic devices, IoT can be anywhere, and you might not even know it, that it's an opportunity to take. So the IoT gateway, as I mentioned, is quite important. We did the effort to implement an IoT sample, a GitHub repository, a sample code how to set up a gateway, which is very tightly connected to one of our core IoT services called IoT Hub. So this is a very important thing because, as I mentioned before, in all the projects we have been doing, gateways were a very central part of the topology. So we will focus on this even more. And gateways have multiple roles. It's of course, a security and isolation barrier. It's also possible to use them to put some intelligence on-premise, so not everything should be done in the cloud. For example, filtering bad data makes totally sense to do that in an on-premise environment. So a couple of stories we did as Microsoft. I just want to showcase these because they are well thought out sample demo case applications we did with real-life data. So in this case, you see with Rolls-Royce, if Rolls-Royce needs to put a plane on the ground for maintenance, unplanned maintenance, it can cost up to $1 million per day. So for them, it totally makes sense to be sure that the engines in these planes are really well monitored, so they are able to predict failure. That's basically what's going on in this showcase interface. And with this prediction, we are able to plan advance and make sure that when a plane is on the ground, it can be instantly maintained, although it might be even a little bit early to do the maintenance. But it totally makes sense because if you have to move the parts to the plane, that can be much more expensive simply because of the time span you need to do that. Another example I would like to show is with Johnson Controls. Basically, you see the same mechanisms. Machines are being monitored, a lot of data is being ingested, and all that intelligence is being used in the machine learning environment to be able not only to extend the life of equipment, but also make sure that you can integrate with the back end. So that's one thing that often is forgotten. With IT projects, the backend is a very important thing, meaning existing systems, CRM systems, ERP systems, they all have a very big role in IT. IT seldom is a standalone thing. It's something that always has a big impact in the rest of the business, in business flows. So keep in mind, and both these projects have that involved, that a connection with existing systems is very important. So we get a lot of questions on how do I start a project? Can you show us sample codes, give us an example how to start? And this is basically how Azure IoT Suite was born. So it's a sample application, basically, which makes it possible to see an example of the architecture of an IoT solution with a lot of building blocks, as you can see in this slide. It's more or less interface-wise the same thing as you saw in the other examples. But this code is available on GitHub. It's something you can download, you can deploy it. And the thing we have in mind with this is that you could use it as a kickstart for your project. So use it as the base code and then start customizing. So that's quite interesting. If you want to show a demo, for example, of IoT Suite, there is a website called azureiotsuite.com. And within 15 minutes, you have this complete thing set up and running in your Azure subscription. So it's an excellent tool to showcase internally in your company, maybe do some little branding and then head over to a customer that might be interested in an IoT solution. And this is a great way to solve that challenge. So what to expect at Tech Days? Well, we have quite a lot in store for you. IoT, as I mentioned, it's quite a big thing, it's a broad thing, and we try to include as many aspects which relate to IoT as possible. And this is basically the list we were able to come up with, thanks to all the speakers that were able to send us some nice proposals. So you will see future visions. You will see a lot of speakers talking about experiences from the field. I think those are very valuable. I'm sure you will agree with that. IT practices from Microsoft, from our partners. We will talk about architecture a lot. So I mentioned the slide with all the building blocks. Keep in mind that there are way more building blocks in Azure. So for example, service fabric is really a thing that turned out to be a very important IoT feature. So a lot of the bigger projects we see where data needs to be processed involve service fabric. So that's really an elegant way, especially the actor model, which is part of service fabric, turns out to be a very interesting feature to use. A couple of side things. As Microsoft, we also are involved in the embedded scene for quite a few years, and there are many updates on that field. So we have Windows 10 IoT editions. We have a session from Martin Struijs, who will dig in deeper in all the variations, because it's quite unknown that we have those types of Windows editions. 3D printing, one of my hobbies, to be honest, is also on the list, because it still has a big link with IoT, and that's all about the maker community being able to basically, whatever they think up, they are able to make it and use the cloud to really do that on the big scale as well. Connected cars will be a topic, charging cars, robots will be involved. So you already saw in the mini hexagon some robots. There will be sessions on robots as well. And they will focus also on connecting robots to the cloud, because there are many challenges involved in that. So you will get some insights. And one of the, maybe one of the highlights we have in terms of noisy and dangerous applications of IoT. So there are drones in the building. You might have seen the nets over there. Those are really necessary. So we will have drone sessions, two of them. Yesterday we did some drone testing at the event, and those nets were really necessary because we basically crashed all three drones because of the limited size.
Did you already tell them that you actually damaged the wall?
Yes, but nobody should know that. The nice thing is we have a professional pilot coming over to the event to actually fly a drone like it should be flown. One extra thing I would like to mention, we have workshops specifically for IoT. So this is a chance for you to get hands-on with IoT. It's a two-hour workshop. It involves a very interesting project and an interesting community called the Things Network. Who has ever heard of the Things Network? Okay, that's cool. So for those who haven't heard about it, make sure that you catch up with what they have been doing. It's a very interesting showcase of using crowdsourced project, which sets up networks on a global scale. So there are people basically donating gateways to set up a global network specifically for IoT scenarios. And the nice thing is what they are doing is meant for the public. So it's not something you pay for. It's something we all can build up as a community, and everybody's free to use this network. And in the workshop, you will do a lot of things. Don't be afraid to join, because it's very highly curated, so it's quite easy to tag along, and there will be a lot of proctors helping out. But another thing that happened is we had a sick speaker on the list, and we were able to put in an extra session, which basically summarizes the whole workshop in 1 hour. So in case you don't want to sacrifice a two-hour slot, this is a nice alternative to spend your time. And make sure you're there, because we will hand out a couple of devices at the end doing some lottery thing. Keep that in mind. So from my side, a call to action. Make sure that you get your hands on a device if you have not yet done that. Really, it's a game changer. It's something that's a lot of fun to do. And experience this warm, fuzzy feeling of blinking LEDs. Those who have been into IT for a couple of time know that blinking LEDs is not the most difficult thing, but the first LED that will blink will really make you feel warm inside. And also, that's a serious thing, look at your company, look at your customers, and look for IoT opportunities, because most of them are not even visible, simply because of the reason that we have never built that kind of solution. So this is really out of the box thinking we should be doing with IoT, which makes it a very interesting topic, in my opinion. Enjoy Tech Days 2016. Thank you for your attention. Reach out to us at Microsoft, please, because we are really interested in what you will be doing with IoT. Thanks.
With 3 billion people moving into the world's cities in the next 3 decades, the world needs tall buildings, and tall buildings need elevators. I I'm Dr. Rory Smith with ThyssenKrupp Elevator, a leading global manufacturer. Maintaining over 1.1 million of these machines annually and keeping them running safely and reliably 24/7 is our job one. We wanted to better compete in our industry by offering dramatically increased uptime. So we're taking preventative maintenance a step further to predictive and even preemptive service. We teamed up with Microsoft and CGI to harness the Internet of Things to collect data by connecting the sensors and systems in each of our elevators to the cloud. Microsoft Azure Intelligent System Service draws this data into a central cloud-based dashboard for a real-time view of key performance indicators. And Power BI for Office 365 provides rich data visualization, so we know which cabs need service and when. Microsoft Azure Machine Learning feeds data into dynamic predictive models so that elevators will actually be able to anticipate which repairs they need. Using an app on mobile devices in the field or the dashboard at one of our corporate control centers, all of our technicians see the same real-time information. Now we have the ability to use live data to define a needed repair before a breakdown happens, reducing costs for ourselves and for our customers, raising elevator reliability to new heights. That's the Internet of ThyssenKrupp's things, and it's here right now.
Okay, so this video serves as a little bridge builder between Valerie and me. The reason we took this video is because it builds a bridge between IoT and data, right? So the value really is when you get the data out of IoT, you start doing magical stuff with that. This is a great example where we can actually improve elevators and the uptime of elevators using IoT and data connected. So this will change the world in essence, and this is changing the world already. And it's not only data, because data needs something where it can come from, right? It needs IoT, it needs other sources to deliver the data to it, and then we can do something on the big data and analytics space. So thanks to Valerie for the introduction here. And you forgot to press the play button, but that's okay. Now I have a slightly more time. So you've seen this slide twice already. So just to highlight where we are, right? So this whole session covers this full picture. Valerie talked about basically the top line. I'll talk about the rest of the picture, the red boxes now. We'll be talking about big data, machine learning, insights, visualizations, actions, hot path, and cold path. Again, this is an overview session. So let's first think about where we are. Where are we at in the world, right? We live today in a world of massive opportunity, massive challenges as well. We generate a lot of data together, right? Just you sitting here, you generate a lot of data. Just by sitting very still with the GPS sensor in your little IoT device in your pocket, which we call a phone or a smartphone, is generating data just by every single move you do, right? So just imagine sitting here and generating megabytes and megabytes of data, and imagine we store that all on your phone, right? You would carry around a very big hard drive on your phone, which we don't. But anyway, that's just what you do now, right? You're just sitting here listening, but you're generating data. We're generating 35 zettabyte of data in just 4 years' time. So in 4 years, in 2020, we will generate 35 zettabyte of data on a global scale as a humankind. That's just a little bit more than five times the amount of sand particles on all beaches in the world together. That's kind of the scale we're talking about. So this is a massive amount of data that's coming our way. And to be honest with you, we really don't know how to work with that. Really don't know how to handle all that data. We tend to put all the data in a data lake, right? That's a technology we use for that. Everybody uses that word, data lake. It's just a massive scale. You just put the data in there, and maybe when you need it, you take it out, right? But we really don't know how to swim yet. So we have this data lake, but nobody really knows how to swim. Don't get me wrong. Microsoft doesn't know, Google doesn't know, Amazon doesn't know, Facebook doesn't know. Nobody really knows. We don't expect you to know, right? However, on your little scale or on our little scale, we can do smart little things. But we won't solve the full puzzle of anything that's related to data at this stage. Nobody is solving that. So then we have the same picture we had for the IoT landscape, right? This is the big data landscape for 2016. We're already down to version 3.0 for this year. So how does this make you feel, right? I mean, it makes me feel really puzzled and I'm lost, right? This is so much going on here, and this is just big data or data, right? So of course the vendors are here: Microsoft, Google, Amazon, IBM, SAP, SAS, Oracle, probably. Maybe not. Who knows? But they are here, right? But there are also many other things that we never ever heard about. It might be startups here that only two persons big. I know for a fact that a couple of startups here that only five persons have five persons employed, right? But they are here on this picture showing all the opportunity you have with big data. So it's very, very hard to even start to figure out which of these building blocks do you need. Where do I start? Is this the good choice? Is it the right choice for me, or do you need something else? Do I actually need to spend money on software, on platforms for big data? Or could you just do open source or do a startup that's five persons big and that should be fine? This is really new stuff for us, for our clients, for everyone. And the problem with this is that it's not only about technology. It's much further and much more important than that. And that's if you really want to reap the benefits of data analytics, you require radical transformation as a company. You require new skills, new roles. You need to define new roles in your organization. And then everybody is talking about one thing, and that's a data scientist, right? Who's a data scientist here? Okay, not so much. You're the lucky one here. Maybe there's one in the back. So that's two. Take a look at those faces, because you will see them on the quote 500 in a year's time. Because if you have kids now, or if you're ready to change your career, become a data scientist, because I've seen salaries here in the Netherlands that you can earn 200,000 euros just becoming a data scientist. If you are a BI guy out of your job, top tip for me, change your LinkedIn tag to data scientist. You will see, every day you got a recruiter, every single day. I tried it myself. I'm not a data scientist anyway, but who cares? Just try it. Because they don't really know what a data scientist is. But a data scientist is just one piece of the puzzle. You need more than that. And you need a wrangler. You need somebody on IT that will feed the data scientist. Because what data scientists do these days is 85% of their time, they're not actually doing data science. They're doing cleansing. Doing wrangling with data, and they don't really care, and they don't like doing that. Because maths, statistics, that's the data science, and that's what they're here for. So we need other roles to help them with that, and that's a data wrangler. So for you all classic IT guys, that's where you fit in, right? The data wrangler that prepares the data for the rock star, the data scientist. And then the problem with the data scientist is that nobody understands him or her, right? So we need somebody that can explain what a data scientist does. It can explain and transform the model, the mathematical model that the data scientist came up with, and translate it to something I can understand, right? So we need maybe an artist. We need somebody that can make something look beautiful. Not the math, not the functions, not the neural network. Nah. And we need something that's actually beautiful, that's maybe visually attractive, that pinpoints directly to the problem what you're looking for. And that's where we call a data artist. And that's a very different role. So you need more roles than just a data scientist in your world. And we're all actively exploring that, and Microsoft is doing that, and others are as well. I don't see many data artists yet, but I feel that will be coming up pretty soon. Our vision as Microsoft is, as with other stuff as well, everybody should have access to it. And in the data world, everybody should have access to the data they need at the point in time they need, at the way they need. Right, so if you're a manager or an operations guy or a data analyst or whatever, you need access to the data. So how do we do that? Well, we develop platforms. As Microsoft, we develop platforms, and we believe in an on-premise and cloud version of it, both worlds, and we believe in a relational and non-relational version of it. And that's the classic data warehousing and BI and the more big data world. And that's what we try to build. We're trying all the things that Microsoft does, we're trying to complete this picture. We're trying to complete a platform for all these four quadrants and then the circle in the middle that will help you answer any question you have related to data, whether or not you're in the cloud or on-premise, whether you're in a classical relational world or beyond relational. It doesn't really matter. It should not really matter. And our dream, our vision is that in the end, it doesn't really matter where you sit in the quadrant. You use one tool. Right? So that's what the circle represents. Are we there yet? Nah. Absolutely not. Are we building it? Yeah, we are. But don't get me wrong, we're not there yet, right? We're trying to get there. This will change over time and over time, so be patient. But we're building this platform to scale from on-premises to the cloud, and it doesn't really make a difference where you sit. So let's have a deeper look into that. So this is our advanced analytics platform in Azure, also known as Cortana Intelligence Suite, or just before that, Cortana Analytics Suite. So you got used to the word, and then you changed it again. That's Microsoft. So this is our world in Azure, right? So we build lots of cool tools in Azure for you to work with. For information management, big data stores, there's a data lake again. For machine learning and analytics, it's all in there. Power BI, one of the most popular tools at this point, you will see a lot more of that. These are all here. This is a very new Microsoft. You can exchange any of these tools with others. So we also offer, next to Power BI, we offer Tableau, which is a competitor of us. We offer it. If you want to use it, sure, use it. Make sure you're connected to this platform. We also offer the open source alternative to what we offer ourselves. So for example, in machine learning, you can use our machine learning studio, or you can use R and Python, which are the open source languages for data science. Why would we force you to use our tools? Doesn't really make sense, does it? So let's make it easy for you to exchange it with open source stuff. This is the new Microsoft. This is not the Microsoft your grandfather used to know, right? This is a different Microsoft. So this is the analytics platform. And then we have the same picture I told you on the two quadrants. We have the same picture here with on-premise. So this is the same idea. You see small differences. That's because we develop in the cloud first, and then stuff comes on-premise. But basically, this is the idea that in the end, anything you can do in the cloud, you could do on-premise, and you can mix and match. So maybe you have your data warehouse already sitting on-premises, right? Why would you have to migrate that to the cloud just to use analytics on top of it? Doesn't really make sense. So let it stick there, and then we make some connection to the cloud, and you use analytics there, and you maybe push it offline back to your data warehouse to an on-premises version. That's our strategy. That's our plan. So all of what you saw in just the last picture is SQL Server. So all of what you saw in the last picture was just SQL Server. If you buy SQL Server, you have everything you need for data science and data analytics in one go. And this is the great marketing slides with the number of animations. There we go. Okay, so we are an industry leader for mission critical, already best at Oracle. I won't do it again, so I will leave it at that. The most secure database, we have the highest performing data warehouse, we have the end-to-end mobile BI on any device, and in this new release, we have in-database advanced analytics in SQL Server. So if you buy SQL Server, if you have SQL Server 2016, anything you need for BI, big data, advanced analytics is already there. There's nothing else you need to use. Things we will touch upon in the next other sessions is in-memory across all workloads. Go to that session. We know a couple of people in the market are saying they invented in-memory. It's not true. We'll highlight why it's not true, and we'll highlight what our stake is in on-memory in those sessions. And then something else that somebody invented or not. It's a Lambda architecture. And the Lambda architecture is basically the go-to default architecture you would build for a data platform. Right, so here we see the bridge again between IoT and data. So we have producers, maybe sensors, maybe data sources, maybe apps. Then we have the gateways that Valerie talked about at great length. Then we ingest the data through an ETL or ELT process. And then we store the data. So I'm going through the top line here, right? Data warehouse and a data lake. We do some analytics, and then we visualize. So that's what we call normally the cold path. Then we have a hot path, and that's where real-time data comes in. So we do a field gateway from a sensor, we do some queuing, maybe to make sure that if the connection gets lost, you still have the data. We do some real-time event processing, and then we can visualize it together. So we can build a real-time and semi-real-time dashboard. So this is a canonical architecture you would use to use data and analytics together. If you use this picture, you can easily spot which items you need from the architecture, and just take what you need and build the architecture you need to solve your problem. So the hot and cold path is very important to us. So from the hot path, from real-time event processing, you could also store stuff in the cold path again for later processing. That's what the line from real-time event processing to data lake represents. Okay, so let's have a look at how this works in practice. I want to show a live demo, and I know live demos are always dangerous. So we'll just try. can see to make this work. So this is about Schneider Electric. And I know we touched upon that in the keynote. It wasn't agreed upon to do that, but anyway, we'll do it again. He surprised me with that. So Schneider is a company that has solar power running all over Africa, in this case in Nigeria. And they lack many things in Africa, but one thing they have for certain is sunshine and warmth. So why not use that to generate power and make sure that operations like a hospital will still work? So here's a dashboard showing the data of the batteries generating solar power, and how much use they have and how they are performing. And we see immediately that there's an issue here. We're down a little bit to a certain health level. And we can dive deep into the healthcare center here that has the issue. So here you see a good picture of where the issue is. Probably it's something with the batteries, something with the solar panels here that we might have to do something with. So here's IoT and data together. Because what we can do, we can also see that there's some items here that need an update. So from the cloud, we can install the firmware on the inverter charger just by running install here. And we'll actually use Valerie's tools and software to push that update down to the machine so make sure that it runs better. And that might just solve our problem. Or it doesn't. We'll see. But that's just one way of how you can interact with that kind of stuff. So we can have a look at the data here, see the alerts. We can see some machine learning, some Power BI happening here. We can actually see that the battery operating temperature is too high. It's above a threshold. And that the charge profile, we're predicting it will run under the threshold. So we can actually not generate enough power at a good quality for this hospital to continue working. So just as a matter of fixing that before it happens, we'll create a site notification which was sent out to the engineers to make sure that we create a ticket, they can actually do some work and do some fixes on the data. And now, lo and behold, the error is gone, so the engineers are pretty quick, right? So this is just a demo fakery, of course, as you would expect, right? So this is just one sample of how we can put IoT and data together. So let's look at another example. I need Valerie for that. Can you come over, please? Because what we can do, we can also use other tools to do interesting analytics, right? So let's make a picture of the both of us here, right? So maybe you should smile.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Smile, cheese. There you go. So let's have a look. Okay, so thank you. So you're we welcome. Can actually ask to a certain bot, and who knows, Jeff Dunham, maybe? Yep. He has a doll that's called Walter, and that guy will always tell weird stuff, right? So we have built the same as a bot. It's a bot framework of Microsoft running an analytics protocol. If you send it a picture of two people or one person, it will tell you what it sees. So it does image analysis and then generates a sentence, which is kind of like Walter based on that picture. So let's include the picture here. Now let's hope he's awake. Come on. Okay. So from left to right, you're an almost 30-year-old human male with a smile so wide you could shove an orange in it at a laughable attempt at a beard. It's probably me, right? And the other one, you got off okay. 35-year-old man with a face like a lovesick dog. So anyway. This is very cool, right? So we did some analysis, we did some image analysis, and then we created a sentence out of it, and then we actually, you know, made a joke of you. But this is just Cortana Analytics taking the image, detecting the faces, and then thinking about what is in the picture. Something else we can do. We can also ask, what would happen if I chose a different career? So I wanted to be a firefighter. So I can ask, what if Jeroen ter Heerde was a firefighter. So let's see. Then we'll just generate a picture that will show me how that would have looked, right? So here I am as a firefighter. Is there any business value in this? No. None. But it's very interesting because it allows me to generate new stuff of the world that's actually not there. And of course, if I hadn't worked at Microsoft, I would have been a firefighter just looking at this picture. So this is Murphy. You can try Murphy yourself. It's just a bot on Skype. So if you have a Skype account, Murphy is free. Just ask him any what-if questions, and he will generate pictures back to you based on the analytics it did. So pretty awesome, I think. So let's go back to the slides. Okay, so we looked at some interesting demos. So we talked about where we are, what we're building, and why we're doing that, and, well, we looked at some things you can do with that. So what's coming up? Okay, of course, we're not allowed to show you a lot of what's coming up as Microsoft, but one thing you might not have heard about is the following, and that's SQL Server loves Linux. So we're actively working on bringing SQL Server to the Linux ecosystem. So it doesn't really matter if you run Windows or Linux. If you just want to use the best database in the world, you can do that now, right? And I'm not, the best database in the world is just what Gartner says, right? So, and not me saying it. But you can run SQL Server on Linux. I mean, I work at this company for almost 10 years, right? 4 years ago, it wouldn't ever happen. People would have to die before that would happen, right? And this is now, today we're doing it. We're changing, as a company, we're changing our focus on the world. We're changing the world again. This is massive. This is very important to us, and this shows our commitment to other platforms to give you the experience you need using the right software on any platform you care to use, if you use Windows or Linux or whatever. And the same goes for our BI stack on mobile. If you happen to use an Android or iPhone, or if you're one of those few that use a Windows phone, fine, we don't really care. Here's the right experience for you guys. So SQL Server coming to Linux is one of the big investments. So what to expect at Tech Days these days? 19 sessions on data and artificial intelligence, leading experts, Microsoft and non-Microsoft. Of course, Power BI will be there. We'll be talking about machine learning. We'll be talking about big data, NoSQL, data lake. Open source is a big part of our story today. Replatforming, in-memory data science. There's so many things going on in this space, it's hard to cover it all. I think I have the busiest track. We have close to 20 sessions, and I had 84 submissions. So imagine more than 60 sessions not making the cut. So data is very cool, very hot. And we could do a full two-day event just on data and analytics. So maybe we need to do that. So with that, it's time for us to almost wrap out. So, thank you. So I want to thank you for your attention. Please keep calm and learn data and IoT these 2 days. Enjoy Tech Days. We'll be here for questions and see you around at the sessions. Thanks.